this is just kind of like an introduction tonight to what we're going to talk about. Beginning with verse 1 of Leviticus chapter 10, it says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. There went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of, I'm just going to skip this because these names sometimes get me tangled up just a little bit too. But if you'll jump with me on over to verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Listen what he says, that ye may put a difference between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." You may be seated tonight. I want to read you something else before we go into the message tonight. But my thought on the message tonight is holy living and God's people. And I want to look at some things about this tonight, but I want to read you something from our church teachings and some things that we've been learning and we've known all along. But one of the things that we believe in as the Church of God in our declaration of faith is holiness to be God's standard of living for His people. Now, that's what the Church of God was founded upon. You know, it was a movement that was a holiness movement back in 1886 that they began this movement, and they came out of their churches because of the worldliness that was in it. In 1986, the General Assembly of the Church of God wrote this. Said, "The Church of God has a centralized form of government," and says the local churches, well, wait a minute, I got the wrong part here, but we do have a centralized form of government. "The foundation of the Church of God is laid upon the principles of biblical holiness. Even before the church experienced the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, its roots were set in the holiness revival of the past century. It was and is a holiness church, holiness in fact and holiness in name. The passing of 100 years has not diminished our holiness position or convictions. The years have instead strengthened our knowledge that without holiness it is impossible to please God. We hereby remind ourselves that the Scriptures enjoin us at all times to examine our own hearts. The continuing and consistent life of holiness require this. Conditions of our day desperately require it. The subtle encroachment of worldliness is a very real and unrelenting threat to the church. We must therefore beware lest we become conformed to the world, or lest a love for the world take root in our hearts to manifest itself as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, or the pride of life." Then he goes on to say this, "For these reasons we present the following. Whereas the Church of God is historically a holiness church, and whereas we are enjoined determined by the scripture to be so. And whereas a tide of worldliness threatens the spirituality of our church or of the church, be it resolved that we, the church of God, reaffirm our standard of holiness in stated doctrine, in principles of conduct, and as living a reality in our hearts. Be it further resolved that we, the church of God, believe that the life of holiness is a balanced life in spirit, mind, and body, and that it places the believer in a Christ-like relationship to God and fellow man. Be it further resolved that we as ministers maintain this standard in our own lives, in our homes, and in our pulpits. Be it further resolved that we as ministers and members rededicate ourselves to this purpose and guard our lives against conformity to the world in appearance, in selfish ambition, in carnal attitudes, and in evil associations. And last it says, be it further resolved that we as ministers and members seek to conform to the positive virtues of love, mercy, and forgiveness as taught by Jesus Christ. One of the things that we see that happened to Nadab and Abihu was that they were looking at Aaron as he began to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. When you look at the chapter preceding chapter 10 here, you find that God sent out a fire from God and devoured the sacrifice that was upon the altar that was offered in the proper manner. They even mentioned here that it was offered according to the manner. The manner that God requires. And, you know, Nadab and Abihu began to look and they began to say, well, we can do the very same thing that Aaron has done, and we can do it in our own way. We can do it as we please. We can take our censers. We can offer something different than what God has required. And you know, it cost those two young men their lives because God sent out a fire and they died before the Lord, and they had to carry them out of that place where they were at because what they were offering was not what God wanted from them. I can't help but think that all of us, I want to go through what God has given us. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about God being a holy God, and we talked about the holiness of God. But I want to give you what the scripture says, and I thought all of God's children need to understand that holy living is what God wants for His people. God has never changed that. I'm going to slow up a little bit because I want to just talk with you tonight. God has never changed in what He desires and wants from His people tonight. And you know, when you read in the New Testament, God is still a God of holiness. God will never change. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 2 through 4, Paul is writing to them and he says, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." Paul's writing to them and he's expressing to them something that they need to understand. And he goes on to say this in verse 3. He said, "For this is the will of God." And he said, "Even your sanctification." The word sanctification means a separation. It means to be consecrated and set apart for the use of God and for the purpose of God. It means that our lives should honor the Lord in everything we do and in everything that we are. But he goes on to say that you should abstain from fornication. You know, the sexual sins that are taking place in our world, and we see things happening. But you know, we can also relate this to having spiritual adultery against God. You know, we need to be very careful in our relationship how that we treat God, because God's will never change for His people. God's will is that His people live a sanctified life. You know, we're not hearing this much in our churches anymore. We're not hearing that it's still God's will that we be consecrated to the Lord. And then Paul goes on to say this. He said that every one of you, every one of us tonight, he said, should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. You know, the vessel that he's talking about is this body that we are in tonight. This body, as we'll go on in a minute and see that God has just loaned us, we're in a temporary dwelling tonight. This body belongs to God. And what Paul is saying here, he said, every one of you ought to know how to live. Every one of us needs to know how to please God in our life, whether we be in church, out of church, whether we be home or on the job or wherever we're at. I couldn't help but think that God is pleased with those who know how to live in a manner that honors Him. You know, worldly living is always dishonoring to God. When we say we're Christians and we live in a worldly manner, you know, every one of us ought to examine our life because, you know, it involves every area of our life that God wants us to please Him. Number two, we're called to live by a different standard than that of this world. You know, holy living is clean living. Holy living is different than what this world, the standard of this world. You know, many people and many churches are compromising their standard that God has called them to live. And you know, they're thinking it's all right to do things today. Our churches, the things that I read that the Church of God confirmed and affirmed, they've gone far from those things tonight. They no longer stand on what they said they wanted to stand upon. And many of our churches are doing that, but that doesn't mean that we have to compromise as individuals because we have to stand for God. No matter what the things happen in the church or what takes place in the church or in the world, we've got to make up our mind that I want to honor God with my life. Paul says this when he talks about the standard that God has called us to. It's not the world standard. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 7, he said, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but he says he's called us unto holiness." You know, he's comparing the two here. You know, it's either clean or it's unclean. And you know, he's saying here that holiness is a clean way of living. Holiness is a whole different standard than what this world has to offer tonight. Holiness is what pleases God. Holiness is what God is looking for in every life when he looks at us. You know, it's the blood that washes us free from all sin and all unrighteousness. So, you know, when we get close to Calvary and we get close to the Lord, we can find that the holiness of God will become a part of our life. We're not holy on our own, but we're only holy as we draw near to God. But Paul says this to the church at Corinth, and they were having a lot of problem with worldliness and compromising in that church. And Paul says in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians in verses 15 through 18, he said, "What concord had Christ with Belial?" And Belial, it just referring to wicked and evil people, people that do bad things. You know, when we were in sin, we did bad things. I did a lot of bad things when I was out in sin. But you know, he says, when we get saved, things change and things are different. Or he said, "What part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Somebody that is outright against God and all that God stands for. You know, the holiness is a different separation. It's a separation from this world and from the old fellowships, from the old companionships. You know, we've got a different standard. We're serving a different master. And you know, he says, "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" You know, when you look at this and you really study it, you know, he said, when it comes to you and your body and the vessel that you're to honor God with, he said, this vessel can have no agreement with idol worship and the things of this world. There has to be a difference. And this is what Paul is telling the Corinthians. He says, "For ye are the temple temple of the living God. Oh, you know, we're the temple of the living God tonight. He says, for God, as God has said, He said, I will dwell in them. You know, when we become saved, we might not have the fullness of the Holy Ghost until we get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you know, God is still in us because we are His children. The Bible said we're saved not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible seed that comes from God. And He says, He not only said, will I dwell in them, but He said, I will walk in them. You know, God walks with us everywhere that we go. And our life ought to honor Him everywhere that we go. You know, we can't be one thing on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and then be something else on Monday and Tuesday and the rest of the week. Because God is always walking with us. You know, we need to show this world that there is a different way. We need to show them that when we got saved, that God changed us. We're no longer the old person. We're no longer doing those old things. And He said, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And you know, because we are the people of God, God says something here through Paul to the Corinthians. He says, wherefore, or because of this, because God is dwelling in us, and God is walking with us, and God is our God. He said, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, Paul is speaking under the Spirit of God as he's saying these words. And he's saying, this is what the Lord is saying. This is what God is telling you. He says, you need to come out and be separate. And He said, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know, He said, I'll receive you. And not only that, but He said, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. And then He says this. You know, He said, saith the Lord Almighty. He said, I'm God Almighty. I'm God All-Powerful. I'm God, the Sovereign God. And He's saying, this is what I'm wanting you to do. This is what I'm longing for in your life. This is what He's saying to the church at Corinth. And I believe this is what God is saying down through the years to the time that we're living in. You know, God is looking for people that'll stand up and be different. God is looking for people that knows what it is to be saved, that knows what it is to be washed in the blood, and that counts the blood of Jesus not as an unholy thing, but as something very precious tonight. Because without the blood of Jesus, there's not a one of us that could be free from our sin. But I'm so glad that the blood doesn't just cleanse me from some old habit that I had in the past, but the blood of Jesus will keep us clean tonight. And the blood of Jesus will keep us clean if we'll stay under the flow. And if we are live to tomorrow, the blood of Jesus will keep us clean and separate from the things of this world. It is the blood that we need to cherish. It is the Savior on the cross that hung there in our place. All that shed His blood that we're willing to say, Lord, You did this for me, so I'm willing to follow Your command. Lord, I'm willing to walk by a different beat than the beat of this world. I'm willing to come out from among. I'm willing to be different. I'm willing to acknowledge that You're with me every minute of every day, everywhere that I go. I'm willing to let others know that You said You'd be my Father and You'd be my God. I'm willing to let others know what an almighty God that You are and what a great work that You've done in my life. How that You've helped me to separate. How that You've helped me to be different. How that You've helped me to realize what You want for me in my life. And Lord, I know that it's nothing but good that You want for me. It's nothing bad that God wants tonight. Oh, you know, then holy living. It is seen in the change that takes place in the very lifestyle of every believer. You know, if there's no change, then there's no use to get saved. If we're going to be the very same thing and have the same old sins and the same old habits, and we're not willing to take up the cross of Christ, and we're not willing to say, Lord, I'll do different, I'll be different, I'll do my very best, then we might as well go on back out and be the same old sinner, because it's still the blood. Hallelujah. God is looking for something different, and it ought to be seen in the heart and life of every believer. You know, if I'd go back out and pick up the bottle and run to the same old places and do the same old thing and use the same filthy language that I once used, then I'm just the same old sinner that I ever was, and I'm going to hell just as sure as any other sinner will tonight. But listen, he goes on to say this in Ephesians. Paul says in chapter 4 and verse 22, he says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And you know, as I was looking at this, in these verses, I thought it's up to you and me to do something. You know, when God saves us, it's up to us when we get up from the altar to say, I'm not going to pick up those same old habits that I once had. I'm not going back into those same old sins. But he said it's up to you to put it off concerning the former conversation. And Paul calls it the old man, that old sinful nature, he said, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And as I was looking at this, I thought, well, how does it start? Where does it start? Where do I start? How do I know what God wants me to do? How do I know how that God wants me to live? Paul didn't leave us just hanging there, but he says that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, we have to be thinking different. And in order to think different, we've got to get into this right here. We've got to let the Word of God have a direct effect on our life. We've got to let the Holy Ghost of God begin to touch us and lead us and to guide us. He said we need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Our very attitude and the way we think has to be changed. But when we get into God's Word, when we say at the old time altars, I'll guarantee you we'll begin to think different. We can't let Hollywood or Dollywood or any other wood influence us. We've got to let Jesus and the Word of God have a direct effect on our life. We can't think like this world and please God. We can't think and pick up and follow the thoughts and the ways of this world and think God is going to be happy with any one of us tonight. But he goes on to say this, when you're renewed in the spirit of your mind and your thinking begins to change, people will begin to see the difference. They'll hear the difference in our speech. They'll see the difference in our attitude. They'll see the difference in our appearance. You know, the way we dress and the way we act, because we're beginning to do something because God's Word is in us. We put it there, and it's beginning to have an effect upon us. He said that you put on the new man. Oh, how do I know what this new man is? I begin to find out from the Word of God. I don't get it from some TV evangelist that's backslidden and out to get everybody's dollar and to steal and to cheat everybody. But I get it from the Word of God. You see, this old time Holy Ghost salvation is something that is real. It is something that everyone needs. I don't want this new modern thing that's come down the track. But what we need is some good, clean, holy living in these last days that we're living in. Listen what he said. I said I wasn't going to preach. You'll have to bear with me. He said that ye put on the new man. Oh, you know, we lay the old one down. We kind of get rid of him. And we look for this new man. We've got to say, well, what does this new man look like? What does he act like? You know, how do I know? But he says this. He said, we put on the new man which after God. Oh, we got to learn all we can about God. We've got to know that God is a holy God. We got to know that Jesus Christ is a holy Savior. That the blood of Jesus is pure blood. You see, the Bible said that Jesus was without a spot and blemish. He's without any guile. There was no sin in Him. And we look to Him and we say, God, this is what I need to be in my life. This is how I need to be. But listen, He said, this new man, He says, which is after God, not after the world. Not after the trends of the world, but He said it's after God. He said it's created in righteousness. Oh, you know that word righteousness refers to the deeds and actions of our life. God's people ought to be willing to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. You know, it doesn't make any difference what people think about us. It doesn't make no difference what they say about us. They can say we're old-fashioned. They can say we're fuddy-duddies. They can say we're not having a good time. But you're looking at one that has a good time in the Lord tonight. I'm glad that I'm saved tonight. I'm glad I'm sanctified tonight. I'm glad that God set us apart. Oh, hallelujah. To be different than what this world is. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I don't have to get drunk to enjoy myself. But oh, we're in the Lord tonight. He said it's created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, when we put the new man on, our whole direction in life changes. You know, we're walking in a different way. We're walking, you know, the straight and narrow way. We're walking in a way that God is looking down upon us and He's pleased with us. And, you know, in our direction and our life changes. But listen what He says here. You know, I thought, what is it that changes? Paul didn't stop there. I'm glad he didn't. But he gives us some thoughts here. He said, wherefore put in a way line, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. You see, holy living changes our attitude. We don't go around lying and living a life that's a hypocritical life. But God sees us. We are honest with God. We are honest with ourselves. And when we see the shortcomings in our life and we see our faults and failures, as God begins to expose them and reveal them, we don't hide them and cover them up. But we bring them to an altar and we say, here it is, Lord. Here's my fault. Here's my problem. Here's my failure. Here's this old habit that I've got. And Lord, I need to put it under the blood. You see, not enough people are putting it under the blood. And they're going on through this life, holding on with one hand to the world and trying to hold on to God with the other. It'll never work. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. Listen, let me get back here. He said, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Oh, you know, look at what attitude that is. The anger, you know, we can get angry, but some people stay angry all the time. Some people get angry over every little thing that happens in their life. Same on a person that can't control themselves any more than that. And they begin to get wrath in their life, and they begin to blow up, and they explode, and they just go off the deep end. By God, we've got more of God in our heart than that tonight. Hallelujah. He said, neither give place to the devil. How many do you know tonight that are giving room to the devil? That's what it means. Some people are opening the door and they're even giving him an easy chair and say, devil, come on in and just sit down and do what you please. But all he said, let him that stole steal no more. You know, there's a lot involved in holiness. Some people think it's just the outward appearance. But my God, it's more than that tonight. We need to look holy and be holy. But it has to start right in here. It has to start here and go to here, come out to here in the way we walk and the way we act and the way we do things in this life. He said, let him labor, working with his hands, that thing which is good, that he may give unto him that needeth. But listen to this next verse. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, I hear a lot of people that say with one breath they're Christians, and the next breath this anger comes in, or this wrath, or some filthy joke, or some cuss word. My God, you know, God's people ought to be above all of that. You know, I remember what I used to be. Maybe you didn't have a problem, but I had a problem with filthy words in my mouth. But when the Lord saved me, you know what he did? He even washed that away. Hallelujah. He changed everything. Hallelujah. And there's no more filthy communication tonight. You see, this thing of saying I'm a Christian and then cussing somebody, I'm a Christian and getting angry and being mean and hateful with somebody, you know, that's not the holy way tonight. Holiness is different than what this world is tonight. This world might be full of anger and hatred, but my God, as God's children, as our brother taught this morning, we ought to have some love in our heart. We ought to be filled with the love of God as we go through this life tonight. Colossians, Paul said this again. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ, you know, we're going to have different goals in our life than what we used to have. He said, if you're risen with Christ, and seek those things which are above. He said, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, we ought to have some more desires than that just going after everything of this world. You see, everything that we go after in this world, one day it's going to burn up, it's going to pass away, and we're not going to take anything with us. But what treasures we lay up in heaven, what soul we can touch and lead them to know Jesus, what person we can encourage that's on the brink of backsliding and tell them just hold on. And we begin to seek the things that are above, the things of God tonight. Our goals ought to be different as God's people of holiness, not like the world, but different than what this world is. He says, set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. Now I'm going to get to the rest of this in just a minute. But you know, where our interests and our minds, praise God, the things that, you know, I don't have no desire to run to the Legion or to the beer joint anymore. Praise God, I want to be in God's house. I don't have no desire to sit home on Sunday night in front of the TV, or on Wednesday night, or on revival nights. I want to be in the house of my Father tonight to worship and praise Him. We've got to have different interests than what this world has. Hallelujah. And He says, you know, the things of this earth, He said, for which things the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. And then he says in verse 7, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. He says, but now also, he said, put off all of these, the anger, the wrath, the malice, the blasphemy, the filthy communication out of your mouth. You know, I looked at that and I thought, as I was looking at that, there comes those old attitudes, those old habits again. Why does Paul keep bringing them up? I want to tell you why, church. Because if we're not careful, we'll go back to doing the same old thing. We'll go back to being the same old person if we're not careful and we don't set our affections on things above. We can be lost even though we were once saved and die and go to hell. Amen. But then he goes on to say this. He says, lie not one to another. And then he says again to these people in, at his writing too, see him that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. You know, holiness is putting off something and putting something new on. Holiness is not just simply laying down the things of this life, the old habits and the old sins, you know, those old things we used to do. But holiness is taking a life that we empty out of all the sin, and we take and fill the life up with something good in our life. You know, we might quit sinning and run into the beer joints and to the dance halls and to the worldly places, but my God, we just can't go home and sit down and do nothing. We ought to fill our life up with serving God and doing the good things and not sit around and waste the time. We need to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Church, Jesus is coming soon. Have you listened to the news? You know, Greece, we mentioned Greece, I believe last week. And the leader of the president, whatever he is, he's resigning his position. And that nation of Greece is beginning to fall into turmoil. And the European nations are beginning to tremble because of the economy. But it's having it's affecting America as well. And Jesus is coming soon. Did you listen to the news that in Oklahoma last night or yesterday, there was an earthquake that had taken place, and it's getting closer and closer to the Yellowstone Park, that is one of the biggest volcanoes in the world. Church, we need to get ready. You know, we're going to make it to heaven. You know, we need to live holy. Our conversation, our lifestyle needs to be holy if we're going to go in the rapture. Every one of us needs to look at our life. Every one of us needs to examine our life. You know, not look at somebody else, but see how we stand with the Lord. He said in verse 10 of Colossians 3, he said, you put on the new man. And Paul again repeats, he says, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And as I was looking at this, I thought in holy living, we acquire a new set of values. And you know, the things of the earth lose value as we compare them, you know, to the things that are eternal. We no longer live for what can be gained now, but we begin to focus ourselves upon things eternal. We begin to look at things that are beyond this life. I don't know about you, church, but I'm getting older. I believe every one of us is getting older. We might not want to admit that. We can't do nothing to stop it. And we're getting one day closer to the coming of the Lord. We're getting one day closer to taking our last breath upon this earth. And my God, we need to be ready to meet the Lord tonight. We need to be ready. Jesus is coming. I'm going to hurry. Peter goes on to say this. And I thought, you know, that holy living is a different standard. It's a different set of rules and what this world has to offer. But we need to understand what holiness is, because God is holy. And the Bible teaches us He requires holiness of His people. You know, God is God tonight. And whether we like it or not, every one of us is going to stand before Him. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 14 through 16. He said, as obedient children. You know, we're the children of God tonight. And you know, when you have children and they disobey you, it causes you a lot of grief, a lot of heartache, and a lot of problem. You worry about what's going to happen to them. You worry what's going to take place in their life. But Peter says, we ought to be like obedient children to God. And he said, not fashioning ourselves or yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You know, he's writing to him here. He said, you can't go back and do the old things again. You can't pick up the old habits, the old sins, the old attitudes. But he said, that is being disobedient to God. He says, you got to be as obedient children to please God tonight. Listen. He says, but as he which hath called you. You know, we've been called tonight. God's called every one of us. He said, but as he which has called you is holy, he said, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in all of our lifestyle, in all of our dealings, in all of our actions. He said, we got to be holy in all of our actions. You know, and we have to do that. But you know, God doesn't have to give us a reason why. God doesn't have to explain to us if we belong to him tonight. But you know, he goes on to say, because it is written. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, God is holy. God's holiness demands that we have holiness in all areas of our life. And I couldn't help but think it's a sign of obedience to God when we do our best to live to please him. Now, when we know, the Bible says, when we know to do good and we do it not, he said it's sin. And you know, if we got sin in our life, we're not going to go to heaven. God's word calls his people. Did you know God calls us to offer a sacrifice of holiness unto him? Every one of us needs to offer a sacrifice. You know, we saw in the beginning that Nadab and Abihu tried to offer something strange to God. And God refused to take it. God just struck them down. And that's not what he's looking for. He's looking for the things that are done in the proper manner, according to the word of God. And we need to look at God's word to see. But you know, he says in Romans 12 and 1, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, he said that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I want to go on here in what's involved in presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, God calls for our bodies as a living sacrifice. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 and 15, he says, know ye not. He said that your bodies are the members of Christ. These bodies that we're in tonight, our bodies are a part of the body of Christ. They are sacred tonight. And you know, some people are doing things with their bodies tonight. As we're looking around, you can look everywhere and see how that they're disfiguring their bodies and treating them just any way at all. But you know, our bodies are part of the body of Christ. You know, nobody would ever take a part of the body of Christ if he was standing here. None of us would dare to take and reach out and to paint marks upon him. None of us would dare to reach out and to poke holes in him and hang things upon him. But my God, look what's happening in our world and in the church world tonight. He goes on to say in verse 16, he asks the question, he says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? I begin to think about that a little bit. When he says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, you know, we would feel bad about coming in here and taking some things and marking the walls. We'd feel bad if somebody would take a knife and cut up the pews or begin to throw something all over the carpet, because you know, this place, even though it's just not the fanciest place in the world, it's still the temple of God.
God. It is where He dwells. It's designed to bring Him praise and honor and glory. That's why it's here. That's why we're here tonight. We are designed to bring honor and glory and praise in these temples tonight. Hallelujah. And you know, to do anything else is to misuse them. In verse 20, Paul says, "You are bought with a price." He says, "Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit." He said, "Which are God's?" You know, I want to read you what I've got here. Jesus paid the price to redeem us from the power of sin. The ownership of these bodies, the title deed is in the hands of God tonight. We don't own these bodies. The only way we have to glorify God is in this body tonight. And oh, I couldn't help but think we need to live in such a way that God receives honor from what we do in this body. If He owns it tonight, He can take back these bodies anytime He chooses, then what will we do? You see, this worldliness is moving into our churches. It's moved in since these men spoke the words that they, you know, affirmed the church to be holiness, and they've allowed the standard to drop and let anything happen. Paul says in chapter 3 and 17, he said, "If any man defile the temple of God," to defile these temples. You know, I remember years ago that it shocked me when I could see Tammy Faye Baker painting up like a Jezebel, hanging everything on her, and you know, leading people astray and defiling the temple of the Holy Ghost. And He says, "If any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy." He said, "For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." And then He says, "Let no man deceive himself." We've got this crowd today that thinks they know better. He said, "If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise." Some think that they can outsmart God, but God knows. He owns these bodies. He knows what we do with them. And He said, "If any man defile the temple of the Holy Ghost," the temple of God, him is God going to destroy. I want to read you something else. You know, I couldn't help but think that we have an obligation and a responsibility to God to take care of these bodies. You know, there's a warning given in this verse to all who defile these bodies. And I thought extreme care must be taken to protect the property of God. It doesn't belong to you. We're just here temporarily tonight. But He said, I thought we are here only in these bodies because God has allowed us to be. Isn't that a privilege tonight that God allows us to have a place to live tonight? We need to treat this body in a manner that God is expecting. In Leviticus 19 and 28. Now we see a lot of this going on today. He said, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh." But they're cutting, you know, it says for the dead, but they're cutting their ears and hanging these things on these ears, punching holes in their bodies. They're punching holes in their nose, in their tongue, in their eyebrows and in other parts of their bodies. They're splitting their tongues to look like a lizard tongue, to imitate Satan. And my God, He goes on to say that you should make no mark. I get this right. But He said you should make no mark or print or any marks upon you. And they're just putting marks from top to bottom all over their bodies. The young people think it's cool. They think they've got to have a tattoo and paint and destroy and defile their bodies. But God said no. He said we shouldn't do these things. It's still wrong tonight. It's still a sin tonight. These bodies belong to God. You know, as much as I love Sister Mary, I don't like her when she sees a loose hair and she goes, that's my hair, leave it alone. I get angry with her when she does that. You know, I need all of my care I got. I don't care where they're at. I need every one of them. But you know, we do God's body and God's temple anyway at all. People punch holes in them. They paint them up and they think they got to dial them up. Don't you think God knew what He's doing when He made them? Amen. Don't you think God had enough wisdom to give us the body that He wants us to have tonight? Amen. God knows what He's doing. These bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, you read about old Jezebel when she wanted to seduce Jehu, I believe it was. She went up and began to paint her face all up. She getting ready for him. She going to try to seduce him. You know, there's a lot of people that are painting and doing everything else. And it's not just the women tonight. It's the men as well. Amen. I'm really getting close tonight, ain't I? Some of these men like to primp. Now, when I had a few hairs, I like to put them in place. But you know, there's some men that'll do just as much primping and painting and tanning and everything else because they're not satisfied with what God's done. You know, we like to build them up, you know. Any of you guys ever get in that mood? You ever do that, Kenny? Like to build them muscles up? I know he did. I don't know if he... I don't think he does it anymore, do you?
Well, once in a while.
Once in a while. And we want to have big muscles. And you know, Sister Meredith, look at that muscle. And it's going the other way now. But you know, God knows what He's doing when He made these bodies. He said, if any man defile the temple of the Holy Ghost... You know, young people think it's cool to smoke a cigarette. You know, they think that's one of the coolest things. But you know, it'll kill you. It'll destroy your lungs. It'll destroy your heart. There's nothing cool about it. It's a nasty, dirty, filthy habit. And these young boys think it's cool to put it down here and get a wad of snuff or tobacco and stick it over here and they're gonna chew it and spit it and everything. And they think it's cool to spit all over the place.
Yeah.
I remember a guy telling me one time, said there was a man come in his house, or he telling me about a man going in another man's house, and he got this tobacco, spits all over the floor. Hadn't been the last spitting he ever done. That's nasty. You know, and drinking, we got to get drunk. You know, let me tell you something, ladies, even on these cooking shows, it bothers me that, you know, these cooking shows, when they ended up, they got to have a little drink. That makes us look cool. We're sophisticated. We got the best, you know, big old pretty glass. What happens when they get drunk and they become alcoholics and they're laying out in the gutter somewhere, wrapped around a tree somewhere? You see, these bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And many are destroying and defiling them in spite of what God says. In spite of what God tells us in His Word, many are treating them any way at all. Sister Wilde, if I'd come into your house and I'd go in there and start dirtying up and throwing things around, I don't care if I'm the pastor or not, I'm pretty sure she'd soon tell me, you don't do that. I go in there and Kenny's got a hot dog and I got a hot dog and we start having a food fight, I'll guarantee you both of us are going out because it's not our house. You see, we have to be careful. These bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Holiness is still what God's requiring from all of us. The Bible said to follow peace with all men and holiness. He said, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now that's still a requirement in this word. That's still something God's looking for. Holiness. You know, people say, oh, you got to be an old fuddy-duddy. Now, I notice some people get so stuck up and they get so self-righteous. You know, that's not holiness. Holiness is when we're pleasing God and doing according to God. We got the right attitude about it. We say, I'm glad to do this because I know it pleases God. Holiness in our bodies. He says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Sister, would you come? I'm going to quit. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God expects us to do something.
God's not going to come down. You know, He'll assist us. He'll give us all the help He can. But we have to set the goals in our life. We have to look at our own life and see where it is we need improvement. And you know, holiness, you know, it's nothing bad. It's something good. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He says, I keep under my body. And he said, I bring it into subjection. He's not saying God did this for me. But he's saying God gives me something to do. You know, God loves us tonight. Jesus died on Calvary for every one of us. And you know, we ought to be willing to say, Lord, I'll do my best. I'm not ashamed of righteousness tonight. I'm not ashamed of holiness tonight. I'm not ashamed if somebody looks at me and say, hey, you know, you can't go here, you can't go there because you're living holy. You know, we went a few years ago, took the grandkids up to Hershey Park. And I didn't know that it changed so much. They get them water slides and water things everywhere now. And I'm glad it got to rain and we left. But they're running around almost naked. And I made up my mind I wouldn't go back there anymore. Now there's some places I have to be. And there's some things that I can't help but see. But I don't have to go where I know that those things are. They called me doing a survey about how we liked it there. I said, if you're going to have that stuff there, you ought to keep them in one part of the park or out of everybody else's sight. I said, I'll never come back again. I mean that. Now, I'm going to tell you something, church. I love to ride the roller coaster. You say, you're crazy. I love to get on the roller coasters and some of those crazy rides. But I don't want to have to go and watch the nakedness that's running all over the place. And you know, I'm willing. I'll just ride the automobile. I'll go out every once in a while, Brother Gary, and I'll ride the tractor and mow the grass or whatever. I'll get enjoyment some other way. Don't have to have it from the world. God's still got a standard tonight. Would you stand with me? God's still got a standard. And this is what he means when he says come out and be separate. There's some time in our life that we have to draw a line. It's coming to that with their TVs, isn't it? With the cable that they're pumping into our houses. TVs make you lazy. They take time that is precious. And they put a lot of things in your mind that shouldn't be there. They take your time from reading the Bible many times. And we need to learn to control them, don't we? But God's still a holy God. Holy living is not to be considered an option. Lord, if I want to live right, I'll live right. Paul said this. He said, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace. Now listen to what he says. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Not the word holy, but complete. It means here, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And he said, and I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holiness involves our complete person tonight. I've had people say, well, you know, it doesn't matter what I do. You know, it's inside. If it's inside, it's going to come out. If it ain't coming out in our life, then there's not much inside. We need to live holy, church. God loves us. God just wants to bless you. You know, when we're pleasing God, He'll bless every area of our life. I believe that. I believe when we're pleasing Him with everything we're doing the very best. God will never let you down. God will never fail you. He'll be there for you. Would you come tonight? Let's gather around the altar and just search our hearts and our lives and ask God to help us tonight, each of us.